So take this heart, Lord, I'll be your vessel.
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Reverend JFK Mensah, a seasoned Bible teacher with over 40 years of ministry experience. He is a pastor, a church planter, a missionary, and an international conference speaker. He is passionate about making Christ-like disciples worldwide. JFK Mensah is the General Overseer of Great Commission Church International. May you be transformed as you listen to the Word of God.
Was blind, but now I see. Oh, I can see you now.
Another full day. Our heart's desire is that we will not leave this place until we carry unshakable, immovable, limitless faith in you and your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please resume your seats. At this retreat, my desire is that by the time we close, you will have an unshakable, immovable, limitless, and timeless faith in God, which can carry you to the grave. You need to understand that when you put your faith in things which don't last long, when they perish, your faith perishes with them. But if you put your faith in things which are forever, then your faith will be forever. This is why we have examined Jesus Christ. Because Hebrews chapter 13 verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is why we have examined the word of God. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 119 verse 89, it says, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in the heavens. Jesus says in Matthew 24:35, that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. So when you put your faith in the word of God, because the word of God does not pass away, your faith can stand. Today, I want us to look at how to build unshakable, immovable faith in the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14 verse 1, let's read it. Jesus said something which we need to examine. He says,
John chapter 14 verse 1, let not your hearts be troubled.
Let not your hearts be troubled.
Believe in God. Believe also in me.
Did you hear that? Believe in God. Believe also in me. It's one thing to believe in God. It's another thing to believe in Jesus. And this morning, I tell you, it's another thing to believe in the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, believe in God. Believe also in me. And this morning, we want to see why we should trust and have faith, confidence in the Holy Spirit. The challenge of the Holy Spirit is that He does not have flesh and blood like you and I, or even like Jesus. Luke 24, verse 39.
Luke 24 verse 39. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have.
A spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see me have. Because spirit doesn't have flesh and bones, it is easy to see why the most ignored, the most disrespected person in the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the Holy Spirit. We tend to respect the Father because He is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We tend to go with Jesus because He came in flesh. He was crucified and He resurrected. But the Holy Spirit, He doesn't have flesh and blood. So it is easy to misbehave towards Him. But that's not all. In John chapter 14, let's read 16 and 17. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will pray the Father to give you another helper, another comforter, the Spirit of truth, so that He will be with you forever. Yes.
John 14, 16 and 17. And I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another helper to be with you forever.
Now, look. We are talking about unshakable, immovable, unconquerable, irresistible faith. And it will be built on things that go forever. And look at the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, when He comes, He will be with you for how long? Forever. He is one of the forever people you need to make your friend if you want to be a forever person. Yes?
And I'll ask the Father, and He'll give you another helper to be with you forever.
I like the word helper. But the Greek word parakletos is difficult to translate. So if you read the Amplified Bible, 6 words have been used to translate it. They've called the Holy Spirit helper, advocate, lawyer, intercessor, friend, and helper. Why? Because the Greek word parakletos is from para, which means by the side. So we say paramedical staff, because the driver at the hospital, the accountant at the hospital, is not a doctor, is not a nurse, but they are paramedical staff. They are staff that go alongside with the medical staff. Para, by the side. But kletos is from kaleo, to call. So a parakletos is somebody who, you are doing something, the thing is too difficult for you. You need a helper to come and stand beside you and help you to overcome. That's a parakletos. You have a challenge with the president. You need a friend of the president who is influential, so that he will talk to the president on your behalf and say, oh, this brother is not like that. And then when he speaks for you, then the king will say, okay. That's a parakletos. So he is an advocate, he is a lawyer, he is an intercessor, he is a helper, he is a standby, he is somebody whom you need beside you in order to win in this life. Jesus said, I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter. And the Greek word for another there reveals that he is another of the same kind as Jesus. You see, when you put a beer bottle beside a Fanta bottle, they are both bottles, but they are different bottles. So the Greek word used is heteros. It means it's a bottle of another kind. But when you put two Fanta bottles beside themselves, it's a bottle of the same kind. So Jesus uses the Greek word, which means that I will pray to the Father for another Paracletos like me to come and be with you forever. Yes. Now let's see the problem of the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. Verse 17.
17 says, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive.
He is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive.
Because it neither sees him nor knows him.
Because the world does not see him, and the world does not know him.
For he dwells with you and will be in you.
No.
But you know him.
But you know him. But you know him. But you know him. You know him. Why? He is with you and shall be in you. Now, okay, man in the yellow, please come. I am the Holy Spirit. So, stand here. I am the Holy Spirit. You are the Christian. Can everybody see him? Okay. Whatever I do it. No. When you follow me, they won't see you. Yes. Whatever I do, you do it. Do you hear? Okay. Thank you. So, what do you notice? Did you see me? Did you see him?
Yes.
What he was doing? What did you feel about it? Yes. What did you feel about it? No. Were you seeing me? How did you know I was doing that? Yes. It was funny. The world cannot see the Holy Spirit. The world does not know the Holy Spirit. But we know him. He is with us and in us forever. And therefore, when a Christian is led by the Spirit, the world cannot understand you. The world thinks you are funny. The world is surprised at what you are doing. They don't know the Holy Spirit. They don't see the Holy Spirit. This is why it pains the Holy Spirit when Christians insist on dressing like the worldly people, on singing worldly songs, in reading worldly books, in watching worldly films. It pains him because the world does not know him and does not see him, but you know him. He is with you and he is in you. Please.
So this morning, I want to give you four arguments why you should trust the Holy Spirit and have unshakable faith in Him. Number one, God the Father trusts the Holy Spirit. Who are you not to trust the person the Holy Spirit, God trusts? God trusts the Holy Spirit. How do we know? Let us read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We are reading from verse 9 all the way to verse 11.
1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 to 11. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared.
Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it ever entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Yes?
But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit.
God has chosen to reveal these things to us, His children, through His Spirit.
For the Spirit searches all things.
The Spirit searches all things.
Yes, the deep things of God.
Now, which of you can go to President Nana Akufo of Ghana, enter his bedroom, open his suitcase, take off his shoes, search his pair of socks? Which of you can do that? The Holy Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. There is no secret of God that the Holy Spirit doesn't know. There is nothing God knows which Holy Spirit does not know. Yes, verse 11.
For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him?
You, as you sit here, you have a spirit. If you tell me, hey, tonight I had a dream and you were shaking me, how can I know whether you are deceiving me or you are telling the truth? Only your spirit knows. Only your spirit knows whether you had a dream or you didn't have a dream. Therefore, which man who knows what is in a man except the spirit of the man? Yes?
Even so, no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God.
In the same way, the things of God, the thoughts of God, the plan of God for you for 2020, they are in the hands of the Holy Spirit right now. No one knows the thoughts and the things of God except the Holy Spirit. Now, if God didn't trust the Holy Spirit, will He allow the Holy Spirit to search Him and know His deep things? Let's vote. Let's vote. How many people believe God trusts the Holy Spirit? Okay. Thank you. If you believe God trusts the Holy Spirit, what is your business doubting the Holy Spirit? But it's not only the Holy Spirit who searches God. God searches the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. Romans chapter 8, verse 27.
Romans chapter 8, verse 27 says, now knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of
God. He who searches the heart, meaning God, knows what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit searches God, and God searches the mind of the Spirit in your heart when you are praying. Not only that, do you know that when the whole of heaven considered who should be involved in bringing Jesus to be born God, the Son of God, born on this earth. The assignment, the contract was given to the Holy Spirit. When heaven was asking who should take the contract to raise Jesus from the dead when he was dead, the contract was given to the Holy Spirit. If God didn't trust the Holy Spirit, how come Jesus was coming to this world? The contract was given to the Holy Spirit. Let's read Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 and verse 20.
Matthew chapter 1, 18 and 20. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was...
The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows.
Was betrothed to Joseph. Beg your pardon. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit.
She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. She was found with child of the Holy Spirit. The contract to bring Jesus into this world, the incarnation, heaven entrusted it into the hands of Holy Spirit. Yes, verse 20.
Verse 20. But while they thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.
That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. If you are not sure, let's read Luke chapter 1. Let's read only verse 34 and 35.
Luke 1, 34, 35. Then Mary said to the angel.
Mary said to the angel.
How can this be?
How can I become pregnant?
Since I do not know a man.
I am a virgin. I don't know any man.
And the angel answered and said to her. The Holy Spirit will come upon you.
The contract has been given to the Holy Spirit.
And the power of the highest will overshadow you.
The Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the highest will overshadow you.
Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.
I am saying that the Jesus we talked about yesterday and built unshakable faith in, or the day before yesterday, that Jesus, the Son of God, when he was coming to the world, the contract of who should bring him into the world was given to the Holy Spirit. If heaven trusts the Holy Spirit so much, what is your problem? Many of us, because we don't see the Holy Spirit, we behave anyhow. We just behave anyhow. You know your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, yet you are flirting. What's the meaning of that? Your body is the temple of God's Holy Spirit. You speak in tongues, but you are flirting. It means in the very face of the Holy Spirit, you are insulting him. That's what it means. I don't care. You are in me, so what? Ordinarily, no born-again child of God should misbehave with your body. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. But we don't care. We don't mind. People who want to gossip, gossip. Who want to tell lies, tell lies. People who want to misbehave. They do anything because they don't see any Christian or pastor around. So because of that, they do what they are doing. Meanwhile, God's Holy Spirit, his name is holy. It's with a great problem that he's living in you. His name is holy. Just like you don't want to eat your fufu or banku in the toilet. In the same way, it's a problem for him to live in a person like you. But grace has made it such that he's living there. And you won't even respect that one. I look at the church today and I feel like vomiting. Is this the church Jesus bought with his blood? Look at how they are living. You have to tear away young men and women from each other before they stop flirting, misbehaving, watching pornography, listening to all kinds of songs. What is that? But they speak in postgraduate tongues. Anyway, Romans chapter 8 verse 11.
Romans chapter 8 verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
Listen, according to this verse, Jesus was dead. He was dead. Didn't we prove it here? Jesus was dead. The person from heaven who brought Jesus back to life was the Holy Spirit. The contract was given to him. Why? Because Jesus said in John 6:63, the flesh profits nothing. It is the spirit that gives life. The words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6. The spirit gives life. It is the spirit who gives life. And so, the contract of bringing Jesus back alive from the dead was given to him. And he is in you now to quicken your mortal body, to make alive your mortal body so that you can live for God and be healed. There are certain parts in your body which are dead now. But if the Holy Spirit comes and you give him the chance, he will brood over dead parts of your body and bring life to you. Because he raised Jesus from the dead. There is no part of your body which is dead and he cannot make alive. Amen. So, my point is, if God trusted the Holy Spirit to birth Jesus and raise him from the dead, why are you finding it difficult to trust the Holy Spirit? You need to build unshakable faith in the Holy Spirit. But let's move on. And my next point is that Jesus trusted the Holy Spirit. Jesus trusted the Holy Spirit. Let's read Luke chapter 4, verse 1, verse 14, and verse 18. Luke 4, 1, 14, and 18.
Luke 4, 1, first of all. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness.
This verse must be memorized. What did I say? Jesus, who is your Lord and Savior and mine, he was full of the Holy Spirit and led by the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? Before the Holy Spirit can fill somebody, you must give him your heart. A lot of us, our hearts are filled with these worldly things and the Holy Spirit has no part in you. You are filled with computer, filled with internet, filled with mobile phone, filled with, you are filled with, you know, various things. And because of that, your bucket is full already. How can the Holy Spirit to fill you? You are filled. You are filled. When you wake up early in the morning, the first thing you touch is your phone. You scroll. WhatsApp. Facebook. That's the first thing you touch when you wake up. You are full. When you wake up in the night, what do you think about? You are full of those things. You don't need a prophet to prophesy to you. I am the Lord. I say that your mind is on earthly things. You don't need a prophet. When you wake up in the night, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? When you get up early in the morning, where do you send your hand first? Some people can forget to have their quiet time, but they cannot forget their mobile phone in the house. That's what is filling your heart. You don't need a prophet. Jesus, full of the Spirit, was led by the Spirit. Do you know what it means to be led? Eh? Please come. Yes. Mm-hmm. You are leading me now. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. 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 Thank you. You see? Clap for her. You need to understand that for Jesus to be led by the Holy Spirit, He qualifies to lead you. Who are you? If Jesus was led by the Spirit, He qualifies to lead you. What do you know? So Romans chapter 8 verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God.
For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God.
And John chapter 16 verse 13, Jesus was saying the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth.
16:13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own.
Jesus trusted the Holy Spirit to fill Him and lead Him. But you are too big for the Holy Spirit to fill and lead. What type of Christianity is this? This is why the church is dying. Now, Luke 4:14 says, Jesus returned from the Jordan in the power of the Spirit.
And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee.
Yes.
And the report about Him went out through all the surrounding country.
Did you hear that? Jesus returned in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power with which Jesus worked was the Holy Spirit. Which power are you using? Which power are you using? You see, the reason there are lodge members, secret societies in the church is that they don't find power in the church. So they go to be in Rosicrucian, Amok, Odd Fellows, you name them. Why? They are searching for power. The power with which Jesus worked was the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 says, Jesus of Nazareth, how God anointed Him with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. This is the reason why we are making so many posters and adverts and so on, billboards. You see 31st December, a big billboard, and the pastor is very many postures, squatting on the wife, turning with the back to the wife, and you know, because you want to advertise yourself. But the person who advertised Jesus is the Holy Spirit. Is that not what is there? The Luke 4:14. Luke 4:14.
Yeah, Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and the report about Him went out through all the surrounding country.
Jesus' advertisement, his billboard, was the Holy Spirit. And in the verse 18 of chapter 4, Jesus himself said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and set the prisoners free. And not only that, in Matthew chapter 12 verse 28, Jesus said, if you see me casting out demons, I cast out demons by the Holy Spirit. My point is, if Jesus trusted the Holy Spirit, was filled with the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, he was empowered by the Spirit, he was anointed by the Spirit, he cast out demons by the Spirit, what makes it that you cannot trust the Holy Spirit? And what pains me is that many professionals and university students, the little book they have read and the little profession they are in makes them feel that they can teach the Holy Spirit. You say it's not true, but that's the attitude. When you go to work, do you consult him? But listen, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when the world was being created, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. The Bible says the Spirit of the Lord was upon the waters.
The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters.
So the Spirit of God knows physics, he knows geology, he knows chemistry, he knows biology, because he is part of creation. But not only is he part of creation, he searches God's deep things. What about your profession? It's nothing to him. Eh? He searches God. What about your profession? Look, of all the people who saw Jesus being born, who saw the miracles of Jesus, Jesus walking on the sea, multiplying 5 loaves to feed 5,000, raising dead Lazarus. All the people who saw Jesus, only one person is alive now. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Therefore, he knows more than you. Are you with me? I'm saying he can teach you how to cook rice. The Holy Spirit can teach you, you know, physiotherapy. The Holy Spirit, he can, if you help, you need help, he can help you to invent high ethyl dexyl barboquinolate. You see, we don't respect the Holy Spirit. We feel he's a spare tire. We don't need him in our day-to-day life. Therefore, we don't consult him. And we don't want to be filled with him. We don't want to be led by him. We don't want his advice. We ignore him. And not only are we not ignorant of him, even when he is suggesting something to us, we kick it behind. The Holy Spirit can tell you what things to eat so that you don't have high blood pressure. When you get up in the morning, he can tell you, put on this dress. One of our sisters testified in church and we were all excited. She said she had a lot of dresses. And the first Sunday, she said, oh, Holy Spirit, what should I put on? The Holy Spirit said, put on this dress. Then the second Sunday, the Holy Spirit said, and she said, what should I put on? The Holy Spirit said, put on the same dress. Third Sunday, she said, Holy Spirit, what dress should I put? The Holy Spirit said, put on the same dress. Fourth Sunday, she said, what dress should I put on? The Holy Spirit said, put on the same dress. Fifth Sunday, she said, Holy Spirit, what should I put on? The Holy Spirit said, put on the same dress. Then she said, no. This one, dear, no. How many people were there when she gave this testimony? Thank you. Then she put on her own dress, which she liked. When she went to church and it was dance time, the seam, the thread broke and the whole dress came apart. And she had to rush quickly out to the bathroom. When she got to the house, she said, "Oh, Holy Spirit, why did you disgrace me like this?" And the Spirit told him that there is a new comer in the church who has only one dress. She has looked around to see that people are changing dresses. But I wanted you to keep wearing the same dress so that she will be encouraged. But you spoiled it for me. You see, we feel the Holy Spirit is stupid. That's why heaven sent him. That's why we feel. How many people greeted the Holy Spirit good morning today before you came? How many people? Show by hand. Look around the room. Look around the room. You see? Look around the room. Supposing I come to your house. You don't ask me whether I have pasted. You don't show me the bathroom. You couldn't be bothered if I have breakfast and I'm just there. I am your guest. But that's how you treat me. That's how many of us treat the Holy Spirit. We couldn't be bothered. Even if the Holy Spirit is not in you, the difference will not be seen. Because you don't treat him well at all. The way you are treating the Holy Spirit, if he were to be treating you that way, you won't be here. Jesus said, "I'm going to heaven. I'm sending you another helper like myself to be in you and with you forever." And you are treating him that way. But I said, number one reason why you should trust, you have unshakable faith in the Holy Spirit, is God trusts the Holy Spirit. Number two is Jesus trusts the Holy Spirit. Number three is both God and Jesus, the church which Jesus bought with his blood, both God and Jesus have entrusted the church into the hands of the Holy Spirit. Everybody who is born again is by the Spirit. John chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Everybody, once you are born again of water and of the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who gives birth to you. The church, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read the verse 12 and 13. He says that all of us have been baptized into one Spirit and made to drink one Spirit.
1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized.
In one Spirit you were all baptized into one body. Yes.
Slaves or free. And all were made to drink of one Spirit.
All of us were made to drink of one Spirit. We were all made to drink of one Spirit. This is why when they are baptizing you, they baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Why do you respect the Father, respect Jesus, but the Holy Spirit, you don't mind him? Except it's time to speak in tongues. You see, Jesus was sure that power for the church will be the Holy Spirit's job. He said in Luke 24 verse 49, "Wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." Acts chapter 1 verse 8. You will receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be witnesses to me in both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, the leaders of the church are chosen by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 20 verse 28. The leaders, we are reading it. The leaders of the church are chosen by the Holy Spirit.
Pay careful attention to yourself.
Pay careful attention to yourself.
And to all the flock.
And to all the flock.
In which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers.
In which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit has made you overseers. The Holy Spirit, every general overseer, every pastor, the Holy Spirit, every elder, the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. It is the Holy Spirit who chooses the leaders of the church. Acts chapter 13 verse 2. As the church in Antioch prayed and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereto I have commanded them. It's the Holy Spirit who chooses the leaders of the church. He appoints the missionaries in the church. Every church council, the chairman of the council is the Holy Spirit. Let's read it. Acts 15, 28.
Acts 15, verse 28. For it has seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay on you no greater burden than these requirements.
This is the Jerusalem council. Paul talked, Peter talked, James talked, and they said, it seems good to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary ones. The chairman of the council was the Holy Spirit. So it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. In fact, the Holy Spirit chooses where you should go and preach. Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 7.
And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia.
Huh? What are you saying? Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. Go and preach the gospel to every creature. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the... And I want to go and preach, and you are, Holy Spirit, you are saying, no, who are you? But the Holy Spirit forbade Paul from going to preach the gospel in Asia. Next verse 7.
And when they had come up to Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them.
They wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus said, stop! Back! Then they were confused. They wanted to go left, zero. Right, zero. And so they went to Troas. When they slept, in the night, a man of Macedonia came and said, come over to Macedonia and help us. The Spirit, Jesus has given command. Go and preach. But the Holy Spirit determines when you should preach to who. In Acts chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, Peter had a trance. And when he was thinking about the meaning of that vision, the Holy Spirit said, three people are searching for you. Rise up. Go with them. Don't doubt anything. I have sent them. Yes, let's read it.
Acts chapter 10 verse 19.
Yes.
And while Peter was pondering the vision.
Peter is the head of the church. While he was thinking of the vision.
The Spirit said to him, behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them.
Three people are searching for you. Go down. Move with them. Don't doubt. I sent them. There are people you meet in the day who have been sent your way by the Holy Spirit. If you are listening, if you are watching, it was Derek Prince who gave the testimony that he was in Jerusalem, on the street, walking. Then the Holy Spirit said, cross the street to the other side. So he crossed. And when he crossed, he met the woman who became his wife. You see? We feel we are smarter than the Spirit of God. Even though Jesus was full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit, we feel we know better because you know a computer and you know, you've learned WhatsApp and then Facebook and then now you have even graduated Microsoft Word and Microsoft Excel and Microsoft PowerPoint. You can dabble in those things. So when you see Holy Spirit, you say, oh, stop that. Yeah. There are many problems in your life. He can solve like this for you. Because he's Spirit. He knows more than you. He is wiser than you. He can teach you. He can teach any subject. What I like is the John chapter 14 verse 26. He says, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance the things I have said to you.
John 14, 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things.
He will teach you how many things?
And bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you.
Look, listen. Even the things you remember during the day, the Spirit of God can remind you of the relevant things. We all say this, I forgot. Shame. There is a heavenly remembrancer who is in you and with you forever. If you care to use his services, he will be at your disposal. But if you feel you know more than him and you don't have time for him, okay, go and fail successfully. Where is Katechie? Somewhere around. Yes. Do you see this young man? He was praying for his JHS. Is it BEC? Yeah? BEC boys in Ketekrachi. And I don't have the time to give him the mic. Then the Holy Spirit revealed to him some of the questions on the paper which will be coming. Which ones did you say he revealed to you? Graph, Venn diagram. And then he rang them and told them. And when they went, it was on the paper, dolly dolly. Sharp, sharp. One of our top pastors was meeting with a certain girl. And some people were saying, oh, they are sleeping together. Some people were saying, no, they are not sleeping together. And I said, oh, Father, I don't know what is going on. Holy Spirit, can't you let me know what is going on? When I slept, the love letter the man wrote to the girl, the Holy Spirit brought the love letter, and I read the love letter from beginning to end. You see, our lives are like this because the power and anointing which the early church worked with, we are too busy for that. I shared with some of my friends that, you know, as a pastor, a head pastor, I sit on many committees, meetings, every time meeting. And we went to one of our meetings. When some of the pastors are talking, then my heart will be making chok, chok, chok. I feel the heat. When some of the pastors are talking, I don't feel anything. So when we had the break, I went into my room and I knelt down. And I said, oh, Holy Spirit, what's this? He said, whenever anybody is speaking and you sense that heat, it means I am bringing that suggestion. But if somebody is speaking and you don't sense it, it means I'm not in what the person is saying. I say, wow. This is committee meeting of pastors. They are all making suggestions. But the Holy Spirit is speaking through Sam. But Sam is not interested in what they are saying. Should I go on? You know, the Spirit of God has been on this earth longer than Jesus came in the flesh. Jesus came for 33 and a half years and left. 2,000 years now, he has been in charge of the church. So, Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 2:4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Acts 4:8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to the Sanhedrin. Acts 4:31, and the place where they were praying was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to preach the word of God with boldness. Acts chapter 6, from verse 2 to 4, seek out from among you men well known, full of the Holy Spirit. And they chose Stephen, a man full of the Holy Spirit. Acts 7:55, and Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked into heaven. And Acts chapter 13, verse 8 and verse 9, and Paul, who is also, Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 11:22 to 24, Barnabas, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. It is not only Jesus who is full of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. People like you and me were also full of the Holy Spirit. In fact, when they were choosing the first seven deacons, the criterion was they should be men full of the Holy Spirit. Even to serve Kenke and Chinam in the church, you must be full of the Holy Spirit. No, your amen is weak. Let me spend the rest of my time challenging you. Is the Holy Spirit you have the same as Jesus had? I am saying, is the Holy Spirit you have a Broniwau or the same as Jesus had? I'm glad you are not sure. Is the Holy Spirit in you and with you the same as the one on Jesus who came in the form of a dove and the one who came with tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost? Is it the same?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Why didn't you answer me first? I want to prove to you that the same Holy Spirit you have is the one Jesus had. God calls the Holy Spirit my spirit in Genesis chapter 6 verse 3. In Joel chapter 2 verse 28 and 29, the Bible says, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. In Ezekiel 36, from 25 to 27, the scripture says, I will sprinkle clean water on them and they will be clean. I will give them a new heart and a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out and give them a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within them and cause them to walk in my ways. Even in the Old Testament, God promised that the spirit he will give us is my spirit, his spirit. Now, in the New Testament, how can we be sure? Because in Acts 20:21, Jesus said, just as the Father sent me, so send I you. If we don't have the same Holy Spirit with Jesus, how can he send us the way the Father sent him? Moreover, in John 14:12, Jesus said, if you believe in me, the works I do, will you do also? Greater works than this will you do, because I am going to the Father. If the Spirit he gives us is not the same as the Spirit he has, how can we do the same works with him? Now, the same devil who confronted Jesus is the same devil who is confronting you. Why do you need less power than Jesus had? Not only that. The Romans 8:29 is saying that those whom God foreknew, he predestined that they should be conformed to the image of his son, so that Jesus will be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. If Jesus is the firstborn among many brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit Jesus has, should I have a brand new second-hand cloth of his, or brand new tear rubber, like the Nigerians say, tear rubber? I should have the brand new. Not only that, the Bible says, this is why you have been called. 1 Peter 2, 21, 22.
First Peter.
Yes. Charlie.
1 Peter chapter 2, 21.
Come.
22.
Yes.
For to this you have been called.
For to this you have been
because
called.
Because Christ also suffered for you.
Christ suffered for you.
Leaving you an example.
Leaving you an example.
So that you might follow in his steps.
Okay. Please, follow in my steps. Okay, follow in my steps. My steps, oh. Tell them, which of the two, when I was taking big steps and when I was taking small steps, which of the two did you feel comfortable following me?
The small one.
The small one. Clap for him. Jesus said, follow me, I will make you fishers of men. That we should follow in his steps. How can we follow in the steps of Jesus who has the Holy Spirit when we don't have the same Holy Spirit with him? If we don't have the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had, how can we follow in his steps the same way? He himself prayed in John chapter 17, verse 26. He said that the glory you gave me, I have given to them. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Ephesians 4:32, he says, forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, he says, anyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. 1 John chapter 2 verse 6. He says anyone who abides in him should walk as Jesus walked. You can sit down, please. Thank you. Clap for him. I am saying that 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled face, beholding us in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being changed into the same image from one degree of glory to another by the Spirit. We are being changed into the image of Jesus. When we see Jesus, we shall be like him. If the Spirit we have now is different or smaller than the Holy Spirit upon Jesus, then how can we ever be like him? Colossians 1:28. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man. We present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 4:11-13. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain to the knowledge, the unity of the faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, even the full stature of the measure, the fullness of Jesus Christ. How can we get to the fullness of Jesus if the Holy Spirit given to us is not the same as Jesus Christ's Holy Spirit? Brothers and sisters, I want every one of us to change our attitude to the Holy Spirit and begin to exercise unshakable, immovable, irresistible faith in the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who wrote the Bible. He can help you. All the 10 pillars of growth in your Christian life, you need the Holy Spirit. The pillar one, which is the Word of God, Word and meditation and obedience, you need the Holy Spirit. Why? Why do you need the Holy Spirit? Because the scale on your eyes, He is the one who can remove the scale from your eyes as you read the Word of God. He is the one who can empower. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to grow in your Bible mastery. What about prayer? Do you need the Holy Spirit for prayer? Yes. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. He said, we don't know how to pray as we ought. The Spirit helps our infirmities. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Jude verse 20. The Spirit of God helps you in prayer. Then the third pillar is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit for the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. Evangelism. Do you need the Holy Spirit? Yes. You will receive power. You'll be my witnesses. He's the chief evangelist. Then love and Christian fellowship. Do you need the Holy Spirit? Yes. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He is the one who makes fellowship with one another possible. Then the next pillar is Christ-like character and holiness. Do you need the Holy Spirit? Yes. The 2 Corinthians 3:18 says He is the one who transforms us. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 2, He is the Spirit who sanctifies us. You need the Holy Spirit to be like Jesus. Then what about facing life's challenges? Do you need the Holy Spirit? Yes, because when Jesus was full of the Spirit, He was led by the Spirit to face Satan. So every challenge in life, when the Spirit fills and leads you, you can face the challenge. Then stewardship. Do you need the Holy Spirit? You see now. You see now. Every one of the pillars. Or spiritual warfare. Do you need the Holy Spirit? Uh-huh. And then ministry. Preparation. Do you need the Holy Spirit? Now, so what we are going to do now is, all of us are going to repent. Our attitude to the Holy Spirit has been bad. We don't trust Him. We don't respect Him. We ignore Him. We neglect Him. There are many times when He is speaking and prompting us, we couldn't be bothered. We want our own way. And, you know, there are many things we resist Him. Sometimes we even know that He doesn't want certain things, but we do it against Him. And we lie to Him, we tempt Him, we trouble Him, we vex Him, we quench Him. And you need to change your attitude towards the Holy Spirit. We are all going to be on our knees. Tell Him we are going to change our attitude to You, Holy Spirit. Yes. Talk to the Holy Spirit yourself. Your body is His temple. He witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. Yes. Tell Him you are sorry. Tell Him that the times you have neglected Him, you have forsaken Him, you have been ignorant of Him, and you have not bothered to mind Him, that your body is His temple, yet you have not in any way shown anything that He is your guest. that you are changing your attitude. Many times you haven't seen the need to consult him. There have been times you even thought you were wiser than him. Sometimes you thought you didn't need him. Jesus is just wasting your time. Okay, say it after me. Say, Spirit of God, I am ashamed at the way I have treated you. You are in me. You are with me. My body is your temple. You came to help me, but I have been ignorant of your service. I have quenched you. I have grieved you. I have insulted you. And I have vexed you. There are times when I resisted you. Today, I am repenting. I want you to refresh me and fill me again. Anoint me afresh. Let your presence be with me. Help me to understand your language and live with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we be on our feet?
Follow JFK Mensa Ministries on Facebook and YouTube and invite others to listen to his podcast. You can also access some of JFK Mensa's books and keep up with his ministry at www.jfkmensaministries.org. God bless you.